It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Late last month, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that states can exclude transgender girls from competing on girls' sports teams.
The High Court's landmark decision upholds laws in Idaho and West Virginia banning transgender women and girls from competing on teams that align with their gender identity.
The court's six conservative justices also agreed that these states did not violate federal civil rights laws. Here's Marquette University Law School professor Matt Mitten on how the justices interpreted that argument.
The majority basically said that, well, in general, this rule protecting female athletes' health and safety and ensuring, you know, the integrity of the sport, competitive balance, that was enough to justify this categorical ban on any transgender females from playing female sports.
In all, 27 states have enacted laws in recent years banning transgender students from participating in sports consistent with their gender identity.
Wisconsin is not one of them, but the state body overseeing high school athletics updated its policy last year so only athletes, quote, designated as females at birth, end quote, would be allowed to compete in girls' sports.
For more on the impact of the Supreme Court ruling and how it's felt by trans student athletes in Wisconsin, we have Brian Jukums, Senior Director of Education and Policy at GSAFE. That's an LGBTQ plus youth advocacy organization which works with hundreds of schools and student organizations across Wisconsin. Brian, welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Kate. It's good to be here.
And Green Bay area parent Julianne is with us. To avoid identifying her transgender daughter, who is a minor, we've chosen to withhold Julianne's last name from this conversation. Her daughter, Tori, is a transgender girl who was barred from playing tennis with her school team after the WIAA policy change last year, barring transgender girls from competing in girls' sports. Julianne, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tori plays tennis. Can you tell us about her and what this sport means to her?
Well, she just kind of found tennis. This wasn't something that we're not a tennis family, actually. In fact, her older sisters played soccer, but she kind of just thought this would be something maybe she could do well. She started it maybe end of eighth grade, where she kind of was going out with her brother and just playing around. And like so many kids who went through the COVID time of, if they were in middle school, it was such a hard transition from middle school to high school. But we really tried to emphasize, let's have a fresh start. Let's do good. Let's just be excited about this. Tori switched her name legally right before her freshman year. So she went into school, Tori. She's just a regular girl like everybody else. I would say 90% of the people that know her, acquaintance level, whatever, do not know she's a transgender girl. She's just a regular teenage girl like everybody else. If you saw her in a crowd, you would never be able to know anything different other than she's just a regular girl. So her freshman year, she wasn't quite qualified. The WIAA had a standard of what you had to meet, requirements you had to meet to be able to play on a sport. And hers was you had to be on hormones for a minimum of 6 months, I believe it was. And we were just short of that. So we did not make it that year. And we just stayed positive. Guess what? You're just going to practice and you're going to have fun. And you're just going to, next year, you'll be able to make everything and make the team. She did. We had to have a very, what I consider invasive meeting standards that you had to meet, showing records. And let me just say, my daughter, Tori, has never gone through male puberty. I know it's very controversial, the whole puberty blockers, and she has never been on that. We have just literally introduced, her doctor has introduced estrogen into her body before testosterone really started. And her body has accepted it beautifully. If you were to look at her blood panel, you were to look at her numbers on paper, she's a girl. And that's exactly what Tori is. She's a girl. So we met all the standards. She played her freshman or her sophomore year. They did not do well as a team. None of them did. I don't think anybody won all year long. My daughter definitely did not win a match. We don't even have enough girls to make a junior and a varsity team. Everybody was on varsity, basically.
Mm-hmm. It's about the love of the game.
Yes, yes. She felt so good about herself. And, you know, she was just regular, one of the girls, and they were all basically equally. There was one or two girls that were a little bit better than everybody else. It was not my daughter. Then came in January when, I don't know if I can say this, but when Trump took office, he signed his little executive order, and the school pulled my daughter and one other girl in to tell them, there's a good chance you might not be playing next year. Did not really give us pause for alarm, like, hey, this is something we have to take serious right now. They kind of just blew it off. Like, and I don't know if the school was hoping somebody else was going to challenge it or what, but so we were just like, listen, you're probably going to get to play. Let's not even worry about it. It's not a big deal. You played last year. So there was no threat of you playing last year. So there should be no problem with you playing this year.
But then the WIAA updates its policies in February of 2025 to bar transgender girls from playing on girls' teams. What happened to your family at that point when this policy changed?
Well, so when the policy changed, we were still under the belief from the school district, like, it's probably not good. They may grandfather some girls in who already got to play. They're probably going to take it by a case by case. That was what we were led to believe, which ended up not being the case at all. We were told come, because the girls start practicing in August. Last August, we were told, hey, practice is starting. And then we were told, you can practice on the team. You can go to every meet. You just can't play. And every week, it was this whole, maybe this week you're going to get to. And then, oh, nope, you can't. And then maybe this week. And then, no, you can't. So it was a constant getting excited and then a letdown. And
a roller coaster of emotions.
It was a roller coaster. And I really do try to keep her out of a lot of the stuff. I try to be the advocate for her because I feel like she has enough on her plate that she's dealing with. I mean, most teenagers do. And then if you have something else on top of that, it makes it even harder. I went from seeing my child be a girl who was like interested in a lot of different things to last year, not caring about anything and not wanting to go to school and really in a way losing all respect for anybody who's authority. Like, they don't care about me. Why do I have to show them respect? Why do I have to care about them? Which is so opposite of everything that has been her life up until that point. So now we are to the point where, and you know, she used to be the type of girl that she would get home after practice and bug everybody who's going to go play tennis with Tori at night. And it was about 2 weeks into when the matches had started. And I said to my husband, I said, has she even asked you to play tennis? And he said, no. And I said, and she never did. No one played. We didn't play at all. She kind of just gave it up. She has no interest in doing it. She's just, I mean, if you told her she could, she would. But it was such an embarrassment to her and a letdown and putting her in this limelight that she's never wanted to be in. You know, all kids want to do is blend. They don't want to be the one to stand out. And that is literally what our school district did, is they put this limelight on her. And I find it so invasive because we have all these things where we try to protect children, except when it comes to this.
Brian, as you hear of Tori's story and your perspective at GSAFE, what comes up for you? What have you been hearing from the schools you work with since the policy change?
Yeah, well, I mean, it brings up a lot. And I think one of the things as I was listening to Julianne tell Tori's story is that, you know, instead of starting out with a positive note, ending with a positive note, I want to start with a positive note and remembering that the good news is that when people hear the stories of trans athletes and listen with an open mind, they really begin to understand the negative impact these bans have. And a colleague of mine likes to remind people that during oral arguments in the Supreme Court, in this very case, a comment from one of the justices, Justice Kavanaugh, was directed at the lawyer representing a trans college student. He said one of the themes of your argument has been the more people learn, the more they'll agree with you. And, you know, listening to Julianne tell Tori's story, it's like I absolutely 100% agree with Justice Kavanaugh. And I really wish that he would have learned more from those stories or had the chance to hear from more trans athletes. I think there's people have this really distorted image of what a trans girl athlete is. And I think when they close their eyes, they imagine something very different. And what I know from the athletes that I've worked with across the state is that some are, you know, do pretty good. Some don't do so great. And a lot of them are just kind of mediocre, like most athletes, right? Our Supreme Court and our country has decided that trans athletes are the most dangerous, most important issue right now. There's so many other things that we could be focusing on. And the impact that it has is that it disengages or makes students feel like they're not part of the community, makes them less involved in their education, and also teaches their classmates that it's okay to treat people differently because who they are.
We're talking about the Supreme Court's recent ruling upholding a pair of state laws in Idaho and West Virginia that ban transgender girls from competing on sports teams that align with their gender identity. Brian Jukums is Senior Director of Education and Policy at GSAFE. That's an LGBTQ+ youth advocacy organization. And we have Green Bay area parent Julianne, the mother of Tori, a transgender high school student who had played on the tennis team. We're using Julianne's first name only to protect privacy. Brian, we've also seen support for banning transgender girls from participating in girls' sports. It's grown in recent years, and Pew Research finds roughly 2/3 of adults support requiring transgender athletes to compete on teams that match their assigned sex at birth. So as an advocate, how does this factor into your thinking about how to advance GSAFE's goals of promoting safe and inclusive sports in schools for LGBTQ youth?
Well, I think one thing to remember is that the effort to limit participation of trans athletes are recent, right? Mm-hmm. With state bans like those challenged in these cases, all coming within the last half decade. You know, historically, what we've seen is that efforts to repress LGBT people, you know, really came into focus early in the mid-2000s, trying to defeat marriage equality. And when they lost that, they went shopping for another issue to motivate and animate their base. And they tried that with bathrooms and transgender people, and that didn't have the traction that they wanted. And so they really found a compelling topic with, you know, trans girls in sports, and really used that to motivate and animate their base. I think the important thing is that the work of equality is not won or lost in a single case, right? This is a big case, and it has an impact that has repercussions, not just for trans athletes, but for also particularly trans girls, but also for all girls, including mm-hmm. cisgender girls. We know that the data tells us that, you know, in states and in school districts where trans athletes can't participate, trans girls can't participate, the participation in sports goes down among all girls. Hmm. We also know in places where there are state bans, any female athlete can be open to much more regulation or more critical eye to question the gender of any female athletes they choose, right? Or for whatever reason they choose. So there's a lot more gender policing, and there's a lot more girls who aren't transgender that suddenly get put in the spotlight and questioned publicly, all for the purpose of, you know, trying to minimize the participation of a very small but very important number of trans athletes. So I think, you know, for GSAFE, you know, we continue to do the work. And what we know is that before WIA made their decision back in February, what we know is that school districts in Wisconsin were figuring it out using the really restrictive requirements that Julianne had referenced earlier. They had been figuring it out, and it was working just fine. You know, we're going to continue to advocate for changes in that. I think we're going to continue to advocate and help engage in education, helping people recognize that this has a bigger impact beyond transgender students. And I think we're also going to continue to lift up and give space for voices of trans athletes. I'm really glad that Julianne was able to join us today, because that's a voice that I don't think has been heard very much in these discussions.
Julianne, as schools, you know, in Brian's words, are figuring it out, how is Tori doing today?
So Tori is, we really do take it day by day with her, as I think most parents who deal with teenagers. Like I said, she's really not much different than every other teenager. She has her moments where she's super sassy to me, and she sometimes gets in trouble with her friends, and she does all the things like that. But she's also just someone that has to deal with stuff that I think is so unnecessary. So I wanted to say one other thing is that the district that Tori is in, there's like, I believe right around 19,000 children. And we were talking about in our district, two transgender girls. So this whole issue is being made this big, huge, this mountain off of two girls who just want to play in their sport and want to feel included and want to feel accepted. Two. I mean, that should be a staggering number for everybody to say there's two at that level that want to play sports. What are we doing? Why are we doing this? To make this big issue that all these adults are talking about for two girls, to me, is disgusting. We have so much to worry about in our society. This is not an issue. And I would like to also say this to every parent out there. Where does my child belong if she does not belong on the girls' tennis team? I'm telling you, objectively, she's a girl. She looks like a girl. She has the body of a girl. She has the personality of a girl. She could not be on a boy's team. If you put her on a boy's team, you could not keep her safe. You couldn't keep her safe from ridicule. You couldn't keep her safe from emotional harm. And there is a good possibility she could be harmed physically, whether it be she can't keep up with the boys because she doesn't have a boy body. She doesn't have the body mass of a boy. And sexually, she could be hurt. It scares me to think that the only other option is that for her. And the school district could not keep her safe. So people may not like transgender people. They might not like gay people. They might not like all different. There's all different types you may not like. I say this, is a public school. Too bad. Too bad. You don't have to like it, but you do have to accept it. There are transgender people. They belong in our society. They have just as much rights to live and be happy and have an experience as your kid does. My daughter deserves to sit at the table just like everybody else.
Julianne, thank you for sharing your family story.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And Brian, thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Julianne is a parent in the Green Bay area. Her daughter Tori is a transgender girl who was unable to play tennis with her school team after the WIAA ruled last year that only students designated female at birth may participate in girls' sports. Brian Jukums is the Senior Director of Education and Policy at GSAFE. They also responded to a Supreme Court ruling last month that upheld laws in Idaho and West Virginia banning transgender athletes in girls' sports.